not perfect in yourself, but position himself to be made perfect by the word of the Lord, the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and recognizing, could I be so carnal? A good deal when they see one. I mean, even as a secular person, they should be able to see, and that's where we have to be careful, because there's no greater opportunity or safety than, I believe, in the family of God. Well, let us not be deceived, because we have to make certain that people are more than inspired, but get convicted of sin, repenting of it, and being transformed by the renewing of a mind and having their heart born again. There's a heritage at stake here, and we have a place and part of it, and it's our children. You know, and I've counseled with people for a gazillion years years ago, a generation or two ago, you know, they're struggling in their marriage or their family, they would say something like this: well, we're staying together for the children. And now, you know, we used to hear that and say, oh man, that's kind of bad. Or was it? Now, people many times will stay together as a church, as an army, in the army or military, on the job if it's not perfect, or in a family if it's not perfect, whether it's the children at stake or nothing or nobody else. You see how far we've gone as a nation, where generations before us walked out Christian principles more than many born-again believers are walking through today. Our life is nothing if we don't give it away. And if we could catch anything on the C factor, I know next week we go we have a little two-week break, then we go in. It's going to be really neat. You won't want to miss the next series of Wednesdays that start. We're going to be tag-teaming Pastor Carol, myself, and there's going to be multimedia. It's going to be incredible in regards to that. But, you know, next week we have the business meeting, and then got a good friend coming the following Wednesday, and he's in from Vietnam. He fought as an 11 infantryman in 68, 69. He became a sniper, and he had the 12th highest kill rate of taking out VC or RVN in that war. And when he called his family, and he was ready to, from Saigon, ready to surprise him, and he wasn't surprised, come home. It's funny what he said. He said, even though he wasn't saved, he said, I don't think I'm coming home. I feel like I'm leaving home. After all the death and all the heartache that he saw, and little did he know, he would come home. And then, I believe, somewhere around 5 years later, 4 to 6, I might have got it wrong, the exact time, but between 4 and 6 years, he would come to know Christ, get called into the ministry, and would be pastoring. And then since 1992, when some of the, you know, the walls start coming down, doors open, he made 25 trips. And his first trip, him and a friend of his went into Vietnam and went to a place where they were stationed. And there was nobody, no Anglos walked around. So there was like right near a military base. And like 25, 30 of they looked like green pajamas. These Vietnamese soldiers came around them, didn't know what to do with them because they knew the war was over almost 20 years. So he said, well, take a picture of us. I come as a friend. And something amazing happened. We were one of the first churches that supported him. It's no surprise, right? He resigned his church, pastor, and he said, I'm going back to Vietnam. I'm going to live there. It's my home. Him and his wife, to reach these people. Well, that is going to be a little surprise for two Wednesdays from now. As Chester Clark comes and shares. And then we get on to probably the single largest investment we have, and that is what we leave behind is legacy, both natural children and spiritual children. So by now you should have the blue outline. And go down to verse 3 from Psalms 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Fruit of the womb is a reward. Let's look at that word heritage. Some say, wait a second. My children sometimes give me great pain. Now, excuse me, they are a heritage from the Lord. You've heard it first from Scripture. We're about to enter into a season of learning how to protect and reinvest our heritage and our legacy. Our children are gifts from God and meant to be a blessing to our families, friends, and even the city. Our natural and spiritual children are a heritage of the Lord. And some of you say, you know, my children, I'm down here, and they're gone. Or I've never had any natural children or never adopted a child. I'm going to tell you something. That all the more why God has you at this place so that you could be a spiritual parent. I have children that are in a mission field, that are pastoring, that are in a marketplace. And I didn't father them naturally, but I somehow became their father. And spiritually, and it's a great joy. And that's how every child I dedicate, there's an incredible thing that happens between me and every child ever dedicated at this church. And that goes for the rest of you, not just the staff, but every one of you. You know, give me children or I die. We hear this from the Old Testament. You have an opportunity to have children, spiritual children. The Hebrew word for heritage from our text is nachalot, which means something inherited or an heirloom. An heirloom that God's entrusted us with. The children entrusted to us are indeed our heritage and legacy. The single greatest inheritance we have outside of our salvation must be invested in by skillful, compassionate training. And to be honest with you, it's not being taught in school. If anything, when our children go to school and go to higher education, they're being taught to be independent, free thinkers. You really don't need family. You don't need faith. You just need yourself and us, meaning the professor. So what's a young couple to do? Especially since we hear the term, people say, that's not full of faith when you say post-Christian. Well, you know, I believe in being real. Because before a nation becomes post-Christian, the residue of Christianity is so impregnated in the culture that people do Christian things. Like the example I gave, staying married for children, working a lousy job, whatever it takes until they get a better job. A lot of things that were a byproduct. You know, more patents were done by Christians than any other religion. More the hospitals, universities, guess where they came from? Christians, hundreds of years ago. So the gift to this world, even through the mistake of the Crusades, be careful when you talk about other denominations, because, you know, before our shingle got hung out there, somebody put a cross in the Philippines or Manila or Madrid hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before the Anabaptists, the Lutherans, or the Assemblies of God arrived on the spot. So we've got to be careful. See, it's all about heritage also and legacy. So we have a responsibility that now is so much more beyond us, because for all intensive, we are post-Christian, because the average couple really doesn't know how to be a Christian parent or how to raise a child with the ethics and convictions that their parents did, even if their parents did not walk in that full gospel, Bible-believing, new birth experience. They walked more of the Christian values in their marriage and their children's work ethics than because the society was indeed Christian or Judeo-Christian based. It saturated the land, and it made this nation for what it was, and it made England what it was going back to the Industrial Revolution. So now we find ourselves without bearings, confusion, people that are coming out of a post or Christian nation, coming to church, hearing the gospel, meeting you sharing your testimony, maybe leading them to Christ, and all of a sudden they come worship. We're worshiping together, and Monday through Friday they meet their life partner, we marry them, and then they're supposed to be an expert on marriage the day they're married. And then some time later, you got to be an expert on parenting. and you know, do you wonder why we appeal to you? We need godly grandparents, godly baby boomers, godly busters, godly those that are that are the greatest generation that are dying at 3,000 a day, and that's to volunteer to be mentors, work in nursery. Once a believer says, I've done my share, I've done that parenting, I've done that, we start self-destructing as a people and as a society, and we help the enemy become a post-Christian nation. So I want to ask you to reevaluate how you consider children, even if they're rebellious, even if they look different than we do, even if they're playing the role of prodigal, even if they don't know all the great things that we learn to do in manners and ethics. So we already covered last week or the week before last, the gracious gift of God. It'll be 2 weeks ago. We did the movie last week. They're a gracious gift of God. They're a multiplied gift of God. They're a sweet memory to Job and to the rest of us if we see them that way. They're a great joy and a strength to their parents. Number five, a great blessing to Hannah and a nation. When Samuel came, what a story. Hannah and Elkanah believed God for a child. And when that child finally came, Samuel, heard of God, integrity. That's what the name Samuel means. And all you new folks, when you start having children, before you go just picking a name, any kind of name, you know, just don't pick a name. Or attach a meaning to a new name if you accidentally went and got a sci-fi name or a pagan name or a cultic name or a humanistic name. You know, God loves you, grace, attach a new meaning to that name. But to children that come, I challenge people, don't just pick a flippant name. Pick a name that has some redemptive value. Learn what the name means. And there's incredible books Christian bookstores have. And we have books here at the church. And that's one of the reasons, you know, when we dedicate the name, it's one of the child, one of the things we do is try to find the redemptive value of the name and the corresponding character quality verse. You know, and don't worry about God not being able to redeem it, you know? I mean, look what God did with the name Laughter. Those that know your scripture, you're able to laugh. Remember? Who named her son Laughter? Come on, a little JBQ stuff here. Why does she laugh? Come on now. This is adults here. She says, Lord, in my old age, you're going to give me joy, excitement, thrill. Come on. I mean, that's really cute, isn't it? She laughed at the promise of God. Read it for yourself. Could you imagine playing in a neighborhood? Laughter, go home. Your mother's calling you. Well, it's better than being called usurper, right? Uh-huh. Samuel. 1 Samuel 1:27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. And Samuel grew to be a blessing to Hannah and Elkanah, a blessing to Israel, a blessing to you and I today. Children are a gift of God, heritage. I just feel the holiness of the Lord right now and deep conviction. I want you to bow your heads. If any of you have ever aborted a child, or if you know of person. Don't betray their confidence who's aborted their child. Please. Start with you. If there's anybody here, keep the confidence. Please repent to God. Ask for God for mercy and grace. And ask God to forgive you for destroying a legacy. And you know what? He will forgive you. And I believe He'll give you extra grace to be able to minister to somebody else who might be ready to do the same thing. Because they're in over their head. They don't have anybody. They're vulnerable. They believe a man when a man says he loves her, really does. When he doesn't, he just wants her to love him, use her to love himself, and she gets pregnant. Please, believers, there's no question. It's one of the reasons why we're facing judgment in this nation, because we have shed innocent blood for the God of convenience. If you've done that before you came to know Christ, if you haven't done identificational repentance, let it be a moment now. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I know not what I did. Forgive me. And He will. And then attach a new meaning to running screen and to other people. In Jesus' name. Because number six, a child or children is a heritage that needs investing, not destruction. Luke 2:52 said that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He was brought up in the laws of the Torah. He was brought up in Scripture. Joseph had married from the rite of circumcision to dedication. Everything was done timely. By the age of 12, he was going toes up with the Juris Doctorates of his day, to the theologians of his day. And for a minute, his parents, they lost track. They had to backtrack, and they found him in the temple. And this 12-year-old child named Jesus, goes, Jesus, you had us worried. And he looked at them, and he says, I've been about my Father's business. I believe that was the first of many swords to Mary's heart as she remembered that destiny of that child. The other would be when she would see him beaten. And then, of course, when he would be nailed to a cross. Wow. I tell people they try to get ahead of God. Oh, I'm going to leave my wife and children and preach the gospel. I said, they ain't doing such. If you don't take care of your own family, you don't live this at home, you ain't going to do anything good for God. His parents said, Jesus, this was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, and Jesus submitted himself to his parents' earthly authority and did nothing for another 18 years except be a carpenter until he was age 30. So, that's why we have such a responsibility as children under authority and parents and grandparents and spiritual parents and grandparents. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance, this is Paul encouraging Timothy, the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded is also in you. A children. I just noticed that. Should have said a child. Thanks for your grace. Children are a heritage which need investing. And then, of course, 2 Timothy 3:15, and from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which make you able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And Eunice and Lois spoke the word of God, the Torah, into the womb. Isn't that amazing? Because the Greek rendering of the sentence structure, Paul is telling Timothy, from an unborn child. When it says from and from childhood or from a child, the King James says, the Greek structure of that sentence says, and from an unborn child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of the mother and grandmother of Timothy speaking the Word of God. And in closing, we're going to finish right on time. A child, number 7, must be brought to the Lord. They brought the child to the priest to be dedicated. They brought the child to the temple to be circumcised. They brought the child for instruction in righteousness. They brought the child, which is something we miss in the West, even in our Christianity, to the city elders and the spiritual leaders to make a rite of passage. The word youth, or the mindset of having a teen movement per se, is something that developed in Western Christian culture. And it was needed because of, like anything, as parents many times get forfeit their main responsibility for their children and grandchildren. So what would happen, we have children, and then we have youth, and then adults. We don't see that in Scripture. See, at the age of the bar mitzvah for the Jewish child, he went from a child to a man. There was a rite of passage. And he couldn't make that rite of passage until the parents and grandparents instructed him or her in righteousness in the Torah, or the law of Moses, the Word of God. And then at that right time, that child had to do his homework, because he was going to be not only questioned by the first the priest and then the rabbi and the elders of that local community. And that was his rite of passage. And we've lost something, haven't we? We've exchanged the rite of passage and personal parental and grandparent responsibility to be downloaded to a couple hours of a Sunday school teacher, youth pastor, or child's pastor, once a year vacation Bible school, and replaced it with about 4 to 6 years of wandering in the wilderness at the most vulnerable age for mental growth, hormones, soul ties. Would you stand with me? 2 Chronicles 20:13. Now all Judah stood with their little ones, their wives, and their children, and they stood before God. 1 Samuel 1:27-28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord as long as he lives, and he shall be lent to the Lord. And so they worshiped the Lord there. Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, let the little children come to me, and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Wow, we could spend a whole next hour, but I won't let you, because it'll be too cold to start your car. It's just like I said about love, what love is, what the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God really is. For such is the kingdom of God. May I submit to you, it's typical, it always starts with a remnant. I say, God, why can't you let me think of this on a Sunday morning? But God knows what is needed, okay? But we have a work cut out. Paul said that a child is to be under the direction of the parents, given to tutors in their instruction in mental and spiritual growth. We've exchanged it to give them away for 37, 40 hours. So what do? Do you go crazy? No, you don't go crazy. You can't make a paradigm shift happen. It's not the letter of the law to make people feel bad or to make you go bankrupt and try to get things done, and, well, I'm going to do this or that. The Lord will have you do. It is you and I, as parents, knowing that our job as parents never stop. And let me submit to you, it's your job as spiritual parents never to allow your job of godly influence and availability, especially with so many precious single moms and a scattered society in a nomadic land such as this peninsula, where out of the whole 50 states, there's more people scattered than any other place. So, I'm appealing to you. Please. Let's guard our attitudes and our hearts. We have people that don't know how to be parents. People have to learn how to love their wives. Wives have to learn how to give husbands respect before they earn it. To learn and teach a generation how to honor the elderly. Because if we don't, we'll hear philosophies like this. It takes a whole tribe or community to raise a child. Huh? Have you heard that? No. It takes mothers and fathers and grandparents and a local church family to get the job done, not the government. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, Most High King. And Father, I thank you for everyone that's here tonight, Lord. Let their heart burn with the privilege of rescue in some contexts, of developmental structure, of imparting the giftings that you have gifted them with, being a father to the fatherless, a grandparent to both young fathers that have no parents, or in the area, and to grandchildren. Because we are our brother's keepers. And children are a gift of God. And the enemy is trying to destroy them by abortion, moral suicide, mental suicide, emotional suicide, or physical suicide. Before I dismiss you, if you're here right now and you're feeling conviction in your heart, you might have been coming for a few weeks, or maybe you're visiting tonight, and there's something in your heart and you know there's an emptiness. Now, if you've raised your hand the last couple Wednesdays or Sundays and given your life to Christ, God heard you. But if you never have, in a public context as this, he's knocking at your heart. You don't have to do this alone. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But he must be Lord and Savior. If he's not Lord and Savior of your life, would you invite him in right here, right now? The Word of God says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're part of a family that's around the world. If that's you today and you're making that your prayer, would you just raise your hand and say, I want in on that. Anyone? Going once? Twice? Okay. Father, we just thank you for godly legacy. Thank you for the spiritual fathers and mothers, as well as the natural fathers and mothers and grandparents here. Thank you, Lord, that our children could make a rite of passage, though we've made it difficult for them. We love you, Lord. We say, Lord, help us. Give us a new burden and vision for the children from in the womb to those that have never been fathered and are 35 years old and they feel lost and helpless and insecure and they cloud it with abuse and anger. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Thank you. Bless you. Get pumped up for this weekend, okay? Sunday's going to be incredible.